maybe a whole series of years or events. We want that kind of spectacularness, don't we? Well, today I'm talking about ourselves. We're ordinary people. I'm an ordinary preacher. I think this is a very ordinary congregation. And let's be honest, I'm talking about you this morning because you're ordinary people, aren't you? Yes, you are. But you see, I think that's the very thing that we need to think about, is that so many times we overlook the glory of the ordinary. When we look at the Bible, for example, we say, this is a wonderful book, it's extraordinary. No disagreement there. When I look at Jesus, I see that he is extraordinary. He is the embodiment of God in the flesh. He is the embodiment of the love of God. He is the means of redeeming human being. No one could call him ordinary at all. But what about those folks that follow him? Peter, James, and John, all those others. Well, we think, hey, they're extraordinary too. These guys are apostles. They study for Jesus on Pentecost Day. Peter and the apostles preached to 3,000 people. More than 3,000. 3,000 responded. 3,000 were baptized. We said, man, what a great day. And what a great church that is. When you look at Acts chapter 2 and you just read about the excitement and the energy was going there, how people were being added to the church by the Lord, how they were praising God, and all the people had favor with all the people. An exciting church? Yeah, you bet. Exciting. Extraordinary? Sure, you bet. But I don't think those things happened overnight. Do you think so? And what I want you to consider this morning is that Jesus Christ makes the ordinary extraordinary. It's because the men, Peter, James, and John that we just mentioned, ordinary fishermen, not particularly learned men, and certainly not perfect people, but sinful men, self-willed men. In fact, they're even called sons of anger. What does that mean? They had a tendency to blow up. They didn't like things that were happening. They were agitators. Jesus called them and made them into apostles of love. That didn't happen overnight, didn't it? But it's extraordinary. You see, because they followed Jesus. And this guy, Paul, he had wealth. He had power. He had prestige. He had what we call a sensationalism about him. He gave all of that up because he was blessed by the divine. The divine call to follow Jesus Christ and to be an apostle to the nations. Now, I think it is that type of ordinariness, when the divine comes into the presence of the ordinary and blesses it, that extraordinary results happen. That's what I want you to consider this morning. Now, to demonstrate this a little bit more, I want to talk about some ordinariness. Water. Everybody uses it. It's one of the most important things on the planet. In fact, it's so important that right now we need to pray for rain, don't we? Because we don't have enough rain. And if we don't have enough rain, what happens? We don't eat. Before long, we get the order not to wash our cars. We have problems washing our dishes. Or we even probably taking baths. Water is vitally important. It's only when we begin to lose that we see how important it is. You know, in church, water is important. We baptize people in water. How important is that? The Bible says that the washing of water with the Word. What Word is that? The Word that Jesus is the Christ, that you have faith in Him. There is the washing of water with the Word in which the divine blesses this common thing called water, that it becomes such grand and glorious ceremony that someone can say, I was baptized in Jesus' name. The bread that I eat this morning wasn't particularly... Can I say this? It wasn't particularly appetizing. There wasn't very much of it, just a little bitty amount. I might have liked to have had a little bigger piece. Or I might have had it cooked a little differently. Maybe I could say that, because it was very ordinary, wasn't it? But you know, it's not the amount or the quality there. It's the fact that it's blessed with the divine. It's the fact that Jesus spoke over this and said, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. So when I come in faith, believe that as the body together, something happens. The ordinary becomes extraordinary. And when I take that wine where Jesus said, this is my blood. There's something extraordinary there when I join faith in with that. Well, I didn't get enough to quench my appetite. I'd like to have a little bit more wine on there. A little bit more to drink. Might have even had a little different quality to it. That's not the important thing. That's the ordinariness. It's the word of Jesus Christ that this is my body and my blood for your sakes, that brings out the body of Christ. How could we call anything like that ordinary and mundane? Well, we can't, can we? See, that's what blesses us when we come to church this morning. And I think in the same way that we speak of church as ordinary, I think when we call God into our midst, things happen. When we ask God to bless Tom as he leads us in worship, and as we ask God to bless your poor, ordinary preacher, we're asking the divine to come and to do something for us that otherwise is not possible or would not be done. That's kind of the way I think of small groups. I've done them for years, not only in this church, but in other churches that I've been, and I consider them very, very ordinary things, filled with ordinary people. But that's exactly what I want you to see this morning. Ordinary people blessed by the presence of God in faith with extraordinary results. Now, Pete talked about several things that I want to just mention. In our small groups, we're going to eat together every week. I like to eat food. I like the idea that people bring food from their homes. Everybody brings food. But that's not the point. The point is about the fellowship that it creates when we share a common meal together. They called it a love feast in the early days of the church. And that was nothing common or ordinary. A love feast meant this is the way we feel about each other. And this demonstrates far above the commonness of a meal, but a fellowship of sharing through Jesus Christ. Now, I pray prayers on Sunday morning, but I really enjoy the prayers in my group where everybody has the opportunity to pray. Men, young, women, boys and girls. It's not just offering a prayer by one person, but it's a community prayer. And it exceeds the prayers that any one person makes. But there is our hearts together. I listen to my brothers and sisters praying, and something extraordinary happens. We begin to become a sense of community, praying for each other and supporting for each other. And then we have this study. I consider it a very ordinary study. A study maybe written by somebody or maybe even the preacher. And I'm thinking, boy, is this really a good study or not? Well, we don't need just another Bible study, but it's an interactive approach, where our time together is listening to each other's reflection upon the Word. And it's creating an opportunity for us to affirm, to uphold, and to testify. Opportunities that we don't get in this big church like this together today, right? And that is an extraordinary result. As a consequence of that, I believe that the small groups in which I participated, which I think Pete's participated and others will affirm, have had some things happen that are extraordinary because the divine was invited into the mixture. Now, this year we're going to use a theme called Healing Life's Hurts. And I think probably we all recognize that we have some hurts in life, and if we're honest about it, we would recognize that. This week, for example, I was able, I think, to encourage someone. And I talked to Brother Sane last week, and he said, did you know that Brother Hewlin Hall has become diabetic? I said, I did not know that. So I called Brother Hall, and he's back here today, and he said I could use this as an illustration. So he approves this message. But I called him up, and I said, I want to hear your story. What happened? Now, I know that you people know that people who are diabetics are at risk. We have problems. But, you know, I can probably listen to him on a deeper level than you can, because it's not just about a theory. It's not just about writing pharmacies, or it's not just about other things. I'm in the same boat as he is as a diabetic. So I heard his story, and he told me about how he'd gone to the doctor, and his numbers were like 500 and something. And he thought, well, I've got to go home and take care of this. And the doctor said, no, you're going to the hospital immediately. And he went to the hospital. He was on insulin to get those numbers down. He was on insulin for a whole week and then got on medicine. Well, I know exactly what he's talking about. I know the kind of anxiety that produced. When I get to 450, I have to head to the emergency room. That doesn't happen very often, but sometimes those numbers get up there a lot higher than I want to, and they've been there this week. So when I listen to him talk about his anxieties and his troubles and wondering how those numbers are going to get down, I could hear him on a deeper level than perhaps some of you could hear him. And I was able, I think, to connect with him. Now, I think that encouraged you, didn't it, brother? And I think probably Mary, his wife, and my wife Elaine have something in common because they have to take care of diabetics. So I'm thinking if he was in my group as a fellow diabetic, we could encourage each other. And Mary and Elaine could encourage each other as they take care of diabetics. So I would be honored if they would be in the group that we had. And certainly there's more that we want to do beyond that. But what I'm saying is on that level, there are some anxieties that each of us have in that condition. Now, I can't speak to your condition. There are different conditions that you have. Maybe it's not anxiety over your job. It's anxiety about your family life. You've got other anxiety. You don't know where they're going to strike, but I guarantee you they are there. I can't speak about your anxieties, but I can tell you a little bit about mine. And I will tell you, this week, I had some real anxieties hit me about Friday, and I'm going to share these with you. I'm going to risk telling you that this week was at least Friday, was a terrible day. Now, a lot of things went on during the week that weren't so terrible, but come Friday, number one, my wife left. Well, she leaves many times, but she left, and so I didn't have that support. She's in Panama City doing a retreat for the ladies there. But she left. Friday was also a day that the funeral for probably my favorite aunt in Texas was being held. And it was on my mind. Maybe I should have gone to it, but, you know, it's an aunt and it's a long ways away. But I was troubled because I called my uncle, who's about 90 years old. She had cancer and it was all over her body. And she died when we were on vacation and escaping that hurricane that was chasing us. Anyway, her funeral was that day, and when I called him to tell him about that, he was having heart trouble the minute that I called him. They were taking him to the hospital at that very moment because he had a heart condition. And I thought, well, there'll be another funeral there. So that was on my mind. But probably what was on my mind as greatest as anything is I have a friend right now who is struggling in ministry, and he's getting ready to get out. And he's been in ministry for 30 years, and that troubles me. Now, some of you know that it's not easy to be a minister. And I could tell you that maybe you would understand some of the pains that ministers have. Probably some of the elders would probably understand. But it troubles me that a man this time is having emotional difficulties in the ministry. And as he puts it, he's tired of carrying the burden, and he's tired of doing that. And his wife has been calling my wife for counseling and saying, what do I want to do? I didn't want to get out of the ministry. Sometimes you think women are the ones that are trying to drag their husbands out. And he's trying to get out of the ministry. So, yeah, I understand that. And I'm wanting to talk to him. So I came to the office Friday, and I thought, well, I'll call him from the office, and we'll talk. And I came to the office, and the telephone's not working. Wasn't working all morning. The internet wasn't working. And I was just griped. So I said to Kathy, you know, I'm going home. I'm going home where I got a telephone that works, and I'm going to call some people. And I tried to call him, so he wasn't available. We were going to talk that day, but I couldn't get him, so I left a message. Have him call me. And the more I got thinking about these things, the more I got in a sense of need. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you're thinking about the needs of others, and then all of a sudden you're thinking about your own need to connect to somebody. You know, you've got some tremendous anxieties and some burdens. And so I thought, you know, I'll call a few people up, and I called Jean Moran, and, you know, Jean's a beautiful sister, and I thought, well, I'll see how she's doing. She's got cancer. But yet, in spite of her cancer, liver cancer, when I closed the phone with her, she said, Daryl, I love you. Thanks. I'd like you to come by maybe next week, but not today. That encouraged me a little bit, even though she needed some ministry. And I said, well, I've got to get some encouragement somehow. So I couldn't play any racquetball. The rec center was closed. So I couldn't go out with my buddy and blow some steam there. So I put on some running shoes, and I went down to the park. I said, I used to run. I'm going to make 3 miles. And I went down there, and I couldn't do it. Man, my body hurt. My joints hurt. I'm just not the man I used to be. So I came home, and I complained about how I just didn't feel right. You know what I'm talking about, you older guys. So I thought, man, I've got to do something. I need some encouragement today. Got Sunday sermon coming up. I've got other things coming up. So I called up my friend Henry back there. Henry's back on the back row. Henry gets depressed from time to time. We drop out of the house, have coffee from time to time. Henry's lost a wife 6 years ago, and he gets depressed. I don't think we can visit enough to Henry to always. I just called him, but you know what I said? Henry, I am depressed today. I am discouraged and I need you to lift me up. And he says, you know, I know exactly where you are. He said, because I stay depressed a lot. And, you know, we just talked on the phone. And he kind of laughed that I'm depressed today. And, you know, and I think we both felt better for talking. And I hope that Henry will sign up for my group back there because I love Henry and I'd like to encourage him. And I think he can encourage me because he understands that we all get depressed from time to time. Right, Henry? And I was just telling him, you know, my wife's out of town. I've got some buddies that are in trouble. And my aunt died today. And it's just a terrible day and I can't seem to find any relief. So as the day goes on, guess what? Finally that night I'm able to talk to my friend. We're able to talk. And I said, you know, I'd like to come up and play a game of racquetball. And he said, Ben, I would, but boy, it hurts my back. I said, I know what you mean. And then we talked about other things, and I felt better. Why? Because like Paul said about getting relief from his buddies, from Titus and from Timothy, he feels better when he can be encouraged by their faith. And you see, that's what I'm telling you. You may think of a small group as something very ordinary, but the anxieties that I have and the troubles that I have, whether it's my aunt dying or a minister friend having trouble, may be different than yours, but I think we can meet and connect when we recognize that we have common anxieties and common troubles, and we need to lift each other up. As our brother said, we need to learn to practice that love in very definite ways. It helps when we eat each other's food. It helps when we pray for each other. It helps when we hear each other's faith. Amen? So you see, these ordinary groups are able to do extraordinary things. So when I talk about healing life's hurts, don't think I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm telling you that I need a group of friends regularly to pray for me and to meet me in common faith. I need a small group. So if I can get Henry and Hewlin and maybe some others to join my group, you're going to be a support for me. Just like some of those in the past that I'm looking out and seeing right now, like Sister Norma over here that I dearly love, and Kathy Patterson that was in my, and others. That helps form a support group for us on a level that we cannot give in this great hall of worship this morning. We'd like to, but we can't do it. So now we've got the option of joining a small group of about 8 to 10 people. When you go back the back, you're going to find that there's opportunities to sign up. And I want to tell you a little bit about these groups. Number one, David Elrod's going to lead a group. Tom Harbin. And then, of course, number three will be Daryl Denman. Glenn Davis. Ray Markram. Gordon Matthews. Dan Sain. Peter Shelton. Marty Smith. Herd Lowry. You have an opportunity to sign up. And I've left 8 blanks because we'd like to keep those smaller this year. That means if 4 or 5 family units sign up, husband and wife, there'll be about 8 to 10 in a group. Maybe if there's a couple of kids or 4 or 5 kids, don't write those down. But if you want to sign up for one of those groups today, please do so. And let me ask that you put out beside of your name a number of an alternate group. Last year we had people that wrote below the list, and please don't do that this year. We had people that wanted to go to a group until some groups were so large, they were like small churches. And we would really like not to do that. So this year, if you would put an alternate, we'd like to be able to do a little management. We might call somebody up and say, hey, would you consider going to this group? In other words, give us an opportunity to manage the groups a little bit more and put an alternate group that you'd consider joining. Secondly, I'd like to ask that you not just sign up with just your friends and family. Try to find a group that's different than the one you did last year. If you went to Pete's group last year, you know, I know you're going to want to go to his group again this year. But cut and run to another group. Give somebody else a chance. Go to Tom's group or go to Gordon's group and learn to love those people over there. Don't just go with your family and don't just go with your friends. Find some other people to do that. Now, we have 2 other groups that I want to mention. Number one, there's going to be a group for people that have diseases and pain management issues. So if that is you, Jerry Kreitz is going to lead that group. You can sign up for him. And although we have 8 places, I think Jerry is able to take more people if you want to be in that group. And he has some plans, special design for that group. Secondly, we have a group that will meet here at the building. And Ivan McAfee will lead that group. He probably finds some help from people that show up, but if you want to come to the building on Sunday night, this will be a group for you. So altogether, we have 12 groups. And if those names begin to fill up in the next 3 weeks, when I want you to sign up, we'll find some other leaders, we'll find other groups for you to join. But today, you have the opportunity to go back there and decide which group you would like to be in. Okay, your group will meet at the Botts House. Still here at the building, but at the Botts House. Now, we are going to use this little book called Life's Healing Choices. And I think this book is really marvelous, and it has some. I just like to read some of the chapters here to you. It's about, for example, admitting a need. I've kind of admitted that I needed somebody Friday, right? Can you admit that you have a need? Or how about getting help? Man, I was kind of desperate for getting some help. And maybe there's times when you need some help. Well, your group can certainly provide some help. So the second chapter is about the hope choice. Third, letting go, making commitment, coming clean, making changes in your life, repairing relationships, and then seventhly, maintaining momentum, or that is, attaining growth, and recycling the pain as you share. Now, that's some pretty good lessons, isn't it? If we use that, I believe it will be a very good basis for our discussions and our sharing together. Now, it's an ordinary book, but what have I told you today? We're ordinary people. I'm an ordinary preacher. Tom's an ordinary song leader. Ordinary group leaders that God will bless with extraordinary results if we will approach these opportunities and these people with faith. What do you say? It's up to you. As always, we extend an invitation, and that's our custom here. So Tom's going to come and sing the invitation, and if we can meet you with your needs for Christ as Savior and Lord, we stand ready to minister to you. Let's stand and sing.